I want to talk about how to be updated.
If you have a cell phone, then you have apps. And every so often, they who make the apps, they send you an update. And that takes the app to be more stable, so that you can enjoy what you're doing. So updating is actually important. Yeah. And God, who started this creation, He has many updates. Not that there is any fault in God, but He was going to use several thousand years on His program. He started only with one man, and He was going to have billions of men and women. So when He only started with one, of course it would take time. So therefore God made a promise, and He made upgrades. He developed seasons of time. Well, we have the time of innocence, when man in the Garden of Eden was innocent. And here came guilt. They broke a promise, and it ended into mortality. And you and I, we are mortal. We will not last very long. But God knew all that from the beginning. So therefore, He made a plan, and He put up a law, gave the law through Moses, and then after some time, the people, they broke the laws too. So they were not able to stay with what God gave them. And then came grace, the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah.
Amen.
The second Adam. And He gave us lots of promises and showed us the path, not just to how to survive, but how to overcome. And it was said here already, we need salvation. So we need repentance. We need to die from our own self. So we need to die without dying. That's strange. And then we need to be buried without being buried. But He changed it. And He used the substance of water. So when you die, you are accepting God over yourself. And you turn down your own desires so that you can fulfill God's plan. And the burial, baptized in water in the name of Jesus Christ. Now you're dead and buried. Now, without being dead and buried. Because it's only symbolic. But it works. And then comes the very big thing, the infilling of the Holy Ghost. And unless you're baptized or filled with the Holy Ghost, you're really not fully born again. Because that's the crown of the work. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So God made a wonderful plan. And through the years, He upgraded things. But how is it? Today we have maybe 2 billion or 3 billion Christians. But when it comes to the life of Christ in and through the believer, you don't see much of the actions of Jesus Christ. Because people want to take control. They want to be masters. They want to solemnly rule themselves. And they learn from organization. They learn from denominations how to be secure. Right? Because we say, when we are many, we are secure. But God, He disproved that all the time. Just look at Gideon. He had about 32,000 men. Was going to fight 120,000. That would be a very small army against the enemy. But the Lord said, I want to diminish. I want to take the numbers off your shoulders. Because this is not your war. It's my war. Therefore, He brought it down to 300 men. And now, you're going to fight the enemy. 120,000 against 300. Of course, that is impossible. But that's what God is. He works against the impossible. Because He wants to show that you cannot do this by yourself. We cannot do this by ourselves. Tonight, 2026. August. How is August 9,
10, 11
gonna be? Hey, you don't know. Nobody knows. Of course, we have plans. You're gonna have church tomorrow. Church Monday.
We're
gonna go to Zambia.
We're
gonna have a church for another month. That's plans. But would we be able to complete it? Do we know the future? Is there a way to set an order of the day so that we know that we are in function and in the will of God with our plans? That's the big thing. Therefore, God sends upgrade. He is updating us. Yeah. Just take a little example. When I came to the Lord, hey, there was a world of denominations. And I started out in the Salvation Army. And I bought a Bible. Started reading. And I came to a point where the Bible said the disciples needed to be filled with the Holy Ghost. But in my church, nobody spoke about the Holy Ghost. So I said, Lord, what is this? It looks like the disciples needed it. And do I have it? Since nobody tells you, you don't even know what you got. So I just prayed. I said, Lord, if I don't have it, Lord, give it to me also. As you did with the apostles. And just a few days later, I was sitting playing trumpet in the Salvation Army band, and I felt the Holy Spirit come upon me. I really didn't know what it was, but it was such a presence, and I heard a voice. But it didn't speak audible. But it spoke as if someone spoke inside me. And he said, pack your instrument and run down to another place, and you shall be filled with the Holy Ghost. Oh my. I lost my breath. The trumpet fell on my lap, and the conductor, he was standing there dirigating, and he looked to the side, and Mr. Strumman was not playing. I tell you, I didn't have breath to play. And the brother said, is there something wrong? I said, something came up. I couldn't say the Lord spoke to me right now. Because then they would think I am crazy. You see, God doesn't speak to people anymore. We have people with education. We have professors. In theology. Let them take care of things like that. And you, a little boy. How can you say God speaking to you? So I left it alone. But I packed my instruments and I ran the fastest I could down to that place the Lord showed me. And when I came in that door, they were having church. And the first thing the preacher said, he was standing there, is there anyone here that need to be filled with the Holy Ghost? I haven't been there 5 minutes. And the offer came right there. I said, yes, me.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
Hey, you may have heard this before, but I can tell you, it changed me, and it will make me stay changed, because I was upgraded, updated. Something happened, and the Lord filled me with the Holy Ghost. You know, I never need to go around to ask, am I filled with the Holy Ghost? I say, yes. He did that once and for all. But what did God do that night? He completed the new birth. Right? Because I needed repentance, baptism, and the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And the Lord was leading me progressively, because I needed update so that I could be that little fellow that God could continue to lead. And I became an oddball, a strange person. I did not stay very long in the Salvation Army because they said, you look more like a Pentecostal. We don't need that here. They didn't need it. They did not need Acts 2:38. They did not need 1 Corinthians chapter 19. Paul came to Ephesus and he could hear that they didn't have the Holy Spirit. And he tell them, well, who preached here? And they said, there's a guy called Apollos. And he baptized us according to John the Baptist. Ah, Paul said, you need an upgrade. Because Paul was introducing Jesus the Christ. Oh, they said. And they went down and got re-baptized. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So one baptism wasn't enough. Because they needed upgrade. And then Paul laid hands on them and they got filled with the Holy Ghost. Now we can start living a Christian life. Right?
Okay.
We have so many denominations that have already stopped reading the Bible. They don't need the scriptures anymore that way. What we need is good works to be a great help, which is all good. But if it is you that try to do the help, then it is not really worth it. You may say, my brother, what are you saying? Now, watch what I'm saying. Faith comes by hearing. But hear what? And from whom? Remember, you can say, I'm going to have faith for this. And it's plainly you. Has nothing to do with God at all. You want to prove something and you think that you can help God, and then you'll say, Lord, haven't I cast out devils? I healed, I even helped healing sick. And Jesus said, I don't know you. Because you did not do the will of God. You only did your own will. Right? Hey, it's not wrong to help people. You should always do that. But if you do that to prove to God, that you will say, now Lord, now you will accept me. That's the wrong way. Just bow down. Break down. And ask the Lord to speak. And when He tells you, then you do it. And then you don't have to prove anything to God. Because you just did what He said. Right? Then you are God's friend. Hey, back in the Bible, when you go to Matthew chapter 1, from verse 18 to
25,
then we read a little story. And it is about the birth of Jesus Christ. Remember now, for 800 years, there have been a prophecy that there is a virgin that's going to conceive by the Spirit, because she is going to stay a virgin. There is no man involved. God created an embryo, the seed and the egg. God put it together, made it live, put it in the womb of Virgin Mary. Up till recently, that looks or sounds insane. But you know, in hospitals today, they can take a sperm
and
an egg, and they can match it, and then they can put it in a woman's life, and she becomes a surrogate mother. It may not even be her egg. Right?
Amen.
So back in old days, you could be killed if something like that happened. But today, surrogate mothers is not impossible. So technically, medical, it can work. Right?
Amen.
Mm-hmm. But here, 2,000 years ago, that was unheard. But when the Lord spoke, and that was the brother that Brother Peter was talking about this morning, Ahaz, because he didn't really serve the Lord to the best, but the prophet wanted to give him a promise that I am going to keep my promise, and I will give you a sign. A virgin shall conceive. But that was 800 years back in time. And of course, Israel knew about it, because
Isaiah
was a person that they put their trust in. They probably didn't trust him while he was alive. Because that is always the case. The person who is alive, they're full of doubt about him. But when he's been dead a few years, that's when they start, oh, that's probably something with him.
Yeah.
And after a few hundred years, he was a mighty prophet. Right? So you and I, the people will look at us and say, we're silly. Nothing about us. But wait a few hundred years. Right? Hey, I hope so. You're going to be in the other kingdom then. You're going to manifest what you have believed all your life. And it's going to be proven whether you spoke with God or you just spoke to yourself. Right? Trying to convince people that you spoke to the Lord. Right?
Amen.
So, Mary, maybe there was this prisoner this morning. He gave a testimony that he had an affair with a 14-year-old girl. And he ended up in prison because of that. Well, how old was Mary? The Bible said she was very young. And some people say that she was just in her teens.
Yeah.
I will not pinpoint the age because I don't know. But very young. And then when the angel of the Lord came, she was mature enough according to God's plan. And now he said, I will read from verse 18, Matthew 1. No, the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. And Joseph, her husband, being a righteous man, and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. All right.
Amen.
Hey, we could have read Luke. There are stories. But just for the case of the illustration, everybody in Israel knew that there is a prophecy about a virgin that will give birth. But when it actually happened, how many people knew about it? You have the high priest, the most spiritual man in Israel, and the priests, the Pharisees, the scribes, the Essenes, and you have all the different parties. I would say all the different denominations. Yeah. They all waited on the promise. And when it came, not one of them was informed. You know what Brother Branham said in his ministry? He said, once you make it a denomination, it dies. You want to be a part of a denomination? Do you want to die with the denomination? Remember, you read the Bible. I hope and pray that you will stick to the Word of God and don't take the framework, the organized life that people try to frame you with. Remember, I've been in the Salvation Army. I've been in the Pentecostal Church. And all they talk about is membership. Make sure you are a member. I'll say, what safety is there in a membership? When I was thrown out of the Pentecostal church, because they didn't want me anymore, because I believed the Lord had sent a prophet.
Yeah.
And said, you still believe in that Branham thing? I said, yes, I do. But hey, he is a false prophet. Well, I didn't tell them. But according to their denomination, he's a false prophet. But not according to the Word of God. And to hundreds or thousands of people that are simple, They have a pure heart and they want to be upgraded, updated. Yeah. Because the denomination, they can never upgrade.
Amen.
It's over. Because when you denominate it, it dies. Can you revive a dead person? No, you just put them in the grave. Leave it like that. So in Mary's life, when she heard from Gabriel, there was not a so-called spiritual person that could accept it. And even her fiancé, Joseph, had big problems. But it took one experience, one dream. Hey, Gabriel came to Mary, and the angel of the Lord came to Joseph in a dream. And now there were two people believing that
Isaiah
was going to be fulfilled. And when the time came for Bethlehem, and they traveled there, and she gave birth, how many people knew about it? There was no one. But there were some wise men. Tradition say there were the three wise men. According to the gifts, it could be three. But there were very few. And they were Gentiles. And they lived out in India somewhere. My. And they saw a star. And that star is actually an angel of the Lord. Right? You look up there and you see the star of Bethlehem. Have you ever seen it? It isn't there. It's an angel of the Lord. Because when you go from Jerusalem to Bethlehem together with the wise men, it tells me the star followed them. Hey, look up there, pick out a star and see what star is following you. Hey, that's crazy. Right?
Amen.
But an angel of the Lord. And then the scripture tells me that when the star came to the house where Mary and Joseph and Jesus lived. Right? It was not the night when Jesus was born. No, it was more than a year after he was born. Maybe up to 2 years. And the Bible says the star stood over the house where they lived. And the wise men, they got very happy. So now it is Mary, Joseph, and the three, that's five. The greatest event on earth. Just a handful of people knew about it. And of course you can go back in time. Because after 40 days, Mary had to go up to the temple. First, after 8 days, circumcision. And then after 40 days, then the blessings from the Lord give the child over to the Lord. And then there was Simon and Hannah. Now we have seven people that were upgraded.
Amen.
Brothers, sisters, how many people are upgraded here tonight? Think about it. Think seriously about it. Hey, you want to follow Jesus? How do you do it? Remember, He is a live spirit. He rose from the dead. And He's been alive, quickening people ever since. Of course, it is not Jesus Christ in person that travels around the world. He have an angelic host that does the job. They are servants to administer salvation to them that are in need. Jesus is standing by the altar. He acts like a high priest today. And he is interceding for every soul that is in need of salvation. And he sends out his angelic spirits so that you can hear him. Right? Angels speak in the name of the Lord. Remember, when you read the story of Gideon, there was a man sitting under a tree. And he said to Gideon, "The Lord is with you." And Gideon responded back, "How can you say that? We got big problems." And then the angel said, "You shall conquer the Midianites." He said, "That's impossible. Because I'm the youngest. And we are in a small family." Remember the Benjamites? They had a reputation earlier. And it almost wiped out the whole tribe of Benjamin. See, it was a small, insignificant tribe now. And in the Bible, it starts with, "And the angel of the Lord said." But in the next sentence, it turned, and it said, "The Lord said." Was the same person.
Amen.
First it was a man. No, it is the Lord. Because those men, angels, represents the Lord. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Do you believe in the gifts of the Spirit?
Amen.
You have 9 gifts. When they come into operation, it might be a brother or even a sister that is uttering gifts. Right?
Amen.
But when the gifts is in operation, who is it that is speaking? I hear interpretations of tongues and prophecies. You know what they say? Thus said the Lord. Huh? The Lord enters in and He inspires the vessel. And now the vessel become as if the Lord speaks. And you say, well, that's impossible. That is sister so-so. That's brother so-so. I have seen him or her. I don't think I will believe what I hear. Watch it. See what happens. Because when God speaks, it will happen. Of course, there can be people that want to be bold and act like God is speaking through them. Hey, watch it. Be aware of that. Because the Bible says, try the spirits to see if they're of God. Right?
Amen.
But once you see that God operates through it, you better be upgraded and believe what's going on.
Amen.
Okay. So here, the Lord is now updating seven people. Right?
Amen.
Mary, Joseph, Simon,
Anna,
and the wise men. And nobody else believed it. That's really something. That's Matthew chapter 1. 2,000 year history. Then you go up to your and my day. Because we don't need to stay back there. But I have a lot of scriptures I can use. Then, in 1972, I heard for the first time in my life that there was a man called William Branham. Of course, we call him Brother Branham because we think we know him. Right? He's your buddy. But you never seen him. Only heard repetition. And I hadn't heard a word. I never heard there was a man. I never read Malachi chapter 4. Like you were singing here before I was preaching. Never heard that name. But I was hungry. Always been hungry. That's why I got the Holy Spirit. Because I wanted everything that God had for me. But when I say everything, I want everything. I want what's happened right now. Right? So then, 1972, that's some years back, but we'll still call it modern time. I heard a man, and he was telling about the life and ministry of William Branham. And when I heard that, hey, something happened inside. You know what happened to Joseph? When Mary said she was pregnant? My! Are you really pregnant? Something happened to him. And he went troubled home. I said, what am I going to do? But he did not want to make her a public display. Because he was a righteous man.
Amen.
But that night, or maybe a few nights later, the angel of the Lord came. Visitation. He said, fear not to take your wife. Because what is in her is produced by the Holy Spirit. When Joseph woke up that morning, he was a different man. He could walk happily, knocking on the door. Mary, Hey, I'm a believer. I had a visitation from the Lord. Why didn't God come to the synagogue leader in Nazareth? Because 30 years later, Jesus rose up. And he read from the scroll. And he said after reading, this day, these scriptures are fulfilled in your ears.
Amen. Eh?
That tells me they were not righteous. Because if they have been righteous, there will be a different sound. Right?
Amen.
They tried to kill Jesus, right? That day. That's how it was then. And when I heard about this prophet, didn't know nothing about him, but I took it to the Lord in prayer, and the Lord convinced me. I even had a vision that shocked me. But I knew that vision told me that the choice that I'm making now would cause a lot of trouble. But don't worry about it, because I had trouble too. The Lord spoke like that. Because after prayer, for many weeks, I met the devil. Yeah, have you ever met the devil? It's not a nice sight. The mask that he had worried me. And when the season were over, I said, Lord, why? Did I meet the devil? I'm seeking you. So I fasted more days. And then the Lord finally spoke and he said, do you remember me? I fasted 40 days and 40 nights. And who did I meet? I said, my Lord, you met the devil. Right? And I said, Lord, I'm sorry that I was complaining, meeting the devil. Hey, it is in a way good that you can meet and face your enemy. Then you know whom you have to operate against.
Yeah.
I came out a believer. Hasn't changed since then. But the brother who gave me the tape that changed my mind on the message of this hour, I met him a few years later, and he spoke to me, and he said, Brother Rolf, I have a problem, because I don't believe that Brother Branham can be the messenger of the hour anymore. Yeah, I saw him for 3 years. I saw mighty wonders, miracles. He was a very unique man. But he died in 65. And I thought that he would take the bride in the rapture. And now, it is 10 years since he passed away. So that can't happen anymore. I said, oh my Lord, what is this? Here's a man so convinced that this is the truth. And 10 years later, it isn't the truth anymore. I have brothers in my own church. One of them came to me and say, I have started doubting that Brother Branham could be the messenger. Because I found out that 1933, when Brother Branham had the experience, the angel spoke to him. And you said, do you know that it took him 20 years to tell it on tape that he spoke to the Lord? So from 1933 to 1953, Brother Branham never really spoke on tape that the Lord spoke to him that this message would forerun the second coming of the Lord. I looked at the brother. I said, how long have you had trouble? I have been thinking about this for 6 years. So you have had trouble for 6 years? Believing that simplicity?
Hey,
if Brother Branham started the next year after 1933 to tell the people about the experience, do you think that the people would believe it better? Right? Just think about it. Hey, remember, think about Jesus Christ. He spoke to people and he healed them. Leprosy, evil spirits, all kinds of diseases. He even raised the dead. And you know what he said? When he said, Talita Kumi, little girl, rise. You know what his message was? After he said it, he looked at the father and mother and he said, now, what happened here? Don't tell anyone.
Amen.
Hey, if someone was raised from the dead here in church, maybe the whole Zimbabwe would know about it. Right? You say, yeah, because you had miracles. Hallelujah! Right? Yeah. Quickly, we turn around. Because maybe we are not that spiritual. We are only out for sensations. So we can say, in our church, we see healings. We see that. Hey, don't be too quick about it. Because in so many times, Jesus warned the ones. Remember the man? They came over Gennesaret into the Gergesenes, and there was a man filled with evil spirits. And Jesus healed him. He came to his senses. But 2,000 pigs drowned in the sea because of the influence of evil spirits. And Jesus said to him, because the man said, I want to follow you. Let me join in the boat with you. And Jesus said, no. Go home. Offer the census as it is written in the law. Right?
Amen.
Hey. So Jesus, he did not need fantastic stories around him. Because that just disturbed his ministry. Well, he was there to cast out devils. Yeah, but he wasn't there for the fame of it. He was only there to do the job. Remember in John chapter 9? A man born blind. 38 years. And the disciples said, who has sinned? Was it him? Or was it his parents? And Jesus said, none of them. But this is done to glorify God. Hey, is it to glorify God to be blind for 38 years? No. But God wanted to display that there is a Messiah on earth. And he had programmed, updated, so many incidences so that the people who were really believers would see it and believe it. But the rest of the group, they would just have sensations. After Jesus had prayed over this man filled with spirits, hey, the multitude started following him. And he fed them. 5,000. Other time, other thousands. And the Lord, when they came to him, they said, you're not coming here because you believe. You're coming here because you ate bread. You saw a miracle. And that's why you're here. Yeah. Why are we here? Even tonight. Right? Is it to be updated? So that the scriptures that are about to be fulfilled can be recognized by ourselves, because we have the right desire to see God in action. Right? This is what this message is all about. I hope you're catching that. Right? Because we're not going to see Mary getting pregnant again. That's history. But there are things that are fixing to happen. Hey, we had let me go back to 1952. There was a young brother. He's passed on now. Was Raymond Jackson. He was sitting reading his Bible. And he read Old and New Testament. And one day, he came over Malachi chapter 4. Had never heard of William Branham. He only lived 1 hour away. If you drive a car from Brother Jackson's farm to Jeffersonville, it's about 45 minutes to an hour. And he's reading Malachi 4. And when he read it, he said, my, there's something about this. And he also read in Luke and Matthew. So he found the different scriptures. And then in his heart, he said, if this is right, because what the Lord spoke in Malachi was not exactly like it was written in Luke and Matthew. And he said, if this is right, the Bible is written in a right way, then there must be a Malachi for this time that we're living in. Just before the coming of the Lord. And you know, it wasn't very long after. He had a cousin. And he came visiting on the farm. And he said, Brother Jackson, I have seen things that normally men never sees. There is a man in Jeffersonville. There are signs and wonders and a unique way to express the word of God. I want you to come with me. You see for yourself.
Amen.
So Brother Jackson came with him. Went to church to the Branham Tabernacle. And sat down. And Brother Branham came out on the pulpit. And he started ministering. And while the Brother Jackson was sitting listening, Malachi chapter 4. Matthew. St. Luke. Started fluttering in his mind. And you know what he said? This is the man. Yeah. Only one man. And it hadn't been told yet that what happened in
1933.
It wasn't until 1953, and that was 1 year after Brother Jackson had sensed that this scripture must be about William Branham. All right. You might say, Brother Jackson was a fool. Well, maybe you and I are also fools. Because there's something triggering your inner makeup.
Hey,
remember, you have a church world here in Zimbabwe. They outnumber you many times. They may have thousands upon thousands of members. And when they hear about you, I remember Brother Matimba, 2013, we came to Concession. And if you ever been there, back in those days, there was just a few poles and a small little tin roof. That was the church. Yeah. For a long time. It's a little bigger now. Right? But it started out very, very simple. And I believe it's still simple. Yeah. What I'm telling, remember, it is not the size and the shape of the church. It is the impulse, the beating heart, who is longing to see the scripture come into effect. That is what makes it the difference. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So that was 1952. And in
1975,
when the man told me, Brother Branham cannot be the prophet anymore, I went home and I said, Lord, I've heard things from people that I thought I could trust. But in my mind, this has not changed me. Now, Lord, help me now. So I, through the scriptures, can prove to anyone what you have done in modern time. And the Lord gave me a big job. He said, read the whole story of the prophet Elijah. But read the whole story. Not just a little verse here and there. And when I had read it through, the Lord spoke to me. 1 Kings chapter 19, from verse 15 and up. Here was a clue to understand that William Branham would die before it was all over. In 2013, I came to Concession. No, I came to Groombridge. We had a convention there. And I preached on the three stages of the Elijah ministry. Some people might say I'm crazy. And I probably am. I'm crazy for the Lord. But he convinced me right there. Let the people say whatever they want. This message is still the truth. And it will just progress. It will update itself on the road. This is not over, brothers and sisters. Don't look back 60 years. Remember, God is very much alive now. Hey, don't forget what God did 60, 70, 80 years ago. Hey, remind yourself. That's good. That's okay. But don't live back in 1960. Live now. And let the word of God keep fulfilling. Because by the scriptures, we can actually point a finger in the Bible and tell you where we are in fulfillment. Not use the calendar. Not August, July, or a certain year. But I can show you, we are right here according to the scriptures. And we are ready to enter into the next sentence, which is going to be very specific. Are you excited?
Yes.
Amen.
You came here?
Yes.
Must be because you're interested.
Yes.
I came here because I'm very interested. I'm very happy. If you call me silly, that's perfectly all right. But you cannot change what I see in the scriptures.
Amen.
I may not be a great theologian,
yes,
but by experience, I think that the theologians will lose.
Yeah.
On the way to South Africa, I was on an airplane to Johannesburg, and then there was a Jewish rabbi, and he was standing in line to go to the toilet. Sometimes we get needy, you know. So I stood in line also. But the rabbi was dressed very orthodox. So when you turn around to see who was behind him, I stuck my hand out. I said, greetings, sir. And he looked at me because they normally don't talk to Gentiles. But he was shocked. So he shook my hand. And the first thing I said, are you on your way on a mission? Or are you on your way home? Because Johannesburg also have a lot of Orthodox Jews. And he said, no, I'm on a mission. I am teaching the Torah. I said, okay. I said, I am a missionary. Believing the gospel. He said, gospel? There's not a gospel. Hey, he believed the Torah.
I attend the Torah.
Right? So gospel was unheard. I said, well, I am preaching the word of God. And he said, word of God? Do you read the Torah? I said, I read the Old and the New Testament.
And
he said, there is no New Testament.
Testament.
To him, it was only the Torah. If you read a Jewish Bible, so-called Bible, it stops in Malachi. There is no Matthew, Luke, James. And he said, you are a Gentile. And you tell me that you're preaching from the Word of God. And I said, well, he said, the Lord spoke to me and told me to go and preach the gospel. And he said, what? God spoke to you? How can you say that? Well, that's what he did.
He said,
yeah, but do you know Hebrew? I said, well, when he spoke to me, he spoke Norwegian. What would God speak to you? Zimbabwean. Shona.
Shona.
Right? Yeah. God is not short of knowledge. He just turned the switch. And you started speaking Shona. I started speaking Norwegian. And the Jew kept speaking Hebrew. He was shocked. And he said, I have had so many friends. We all in university. We have studied the Torah. And never have you ever heard that God spoke to any of us. Well, I said, he spoke to me. And I said, he filled me with the Holy Spirit. What? You claim to have the Holy Spirit? I said, yes. Simple as I am, I believe I have the Holy Spirit. And there is no Jew in the world that can convince me otherwise. And then I went back to my seat. And the Jew went back up to his seat. After a little while, he came back to my seat. And he tapped me on the shoulder and said, sir, can we go back there? I want to hear a little more about the Holy Spirit. Yes.
Amen.
Brothers and sisters, be a simple believer. Expect God to speak. Because he is going to speak. This is not over. And remember, when the Lord is going to move in the next move, it will have to happen all over the world. Maybe not to many people. But as many as are called and chosen. Right? So therefore, we can travel around and we can update people to have expectation for the things of the gospel that is not just 2,000 years old. Because you have to admit that when you read in your Bible, you still read things that hasn't happened yet. Right? There are chapters after chapters in the Old Testament that are waiting on fulfillment. There are chapters after chapters in the New Testament waiting to be fulfilled. God's going to update you and me if we have the right desire and we leave the world behind and walk with the Lord and have a concern and a desire to see Him in action. You might say to yourself, we have Brother Branham to do that. No, brothers and sisters. He was just a frontal figure to help us to understand how God works. Yeah. Now you saw the pattern. Now start living the same way. So the pattern will not be hid by your and my confused minds. Because we think it's over now. We're just waiting on the rapture. Now, hey, wait on the rapture, yes. But till it comes, the Lord have a job to do. But it's not you and I that's going to help God. It is God that's going to help you and me so that we can see in the scripture where we are. Where are we now? And then the Spirit of the Lord will enlighten us so we can see what's going on. Yeah. Hey, I'm sorry I don't get any farther here. I have lots of scriptures. But if you feel you need the scriptures, I can send them to you.
Amen.
We'll see what this convention will do. But I am convinced the best is yet to come. We got excitement. We had Brother Branham, a bright and shining light. We have had an apostolic ministry. People that saw Brother Branham and worked with him and saw the right perspective according to the scriptures, and they helped. But now we are a generation that never saw the prophet. We only read about it. Only saw a black and white movie. Deep called to the deep. And we saw what God did. Remember, the same Holy Spirit is still here today. He can pop up and show whatever. Up in Canada, there's a brother there. God shows him lots of things. Yeah. Hey, don't think it's over. Just be reverent and let God do His work. I know that I may be late. But remember, no. You only have a convention in August. And then the rest of the year, you're going to go like this. When is the next convention coming? Right?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Well, I'm very happy. So, in the Bible, I'll just take a few scriptures here. Yeah. In Matthew chapter 3, verse 1 to 3. Yeah. It popped up in Norwegian. You don't understand that part. And in those days cometh John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea, saying, repent you, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is he that was spoken of through Isaiah the prophet, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, make you ready the way of the Lord, make his path straight. So John the Baptist, when he started out his ministry, he knew who he was. It was given to him. The Lord showed him. And of course, he was going to announce the Master. And the Spirit told him, whom you see, the Spirit of God descending on, like a dove, and the Spirit remains on him, that's the one. And John the Baptist, he was baptizing a lot of people, but in his mind he was waiting on that dove. Unless he saw the dove, nothing could happen. But one day, not very long after, Jesus came down. And when he was baptized, the Holy Spirit came. Alright. How many people saw that? Only one. One man saw the manifestation of the Spirit. And he was convinced. And he had a bunch of people. Well, Peter, James, John. The fishermen are from Galilee. They were spiritually enthused. So they came down to John every so often, because they heard him say, there is one coming that I'm unworthy to loose the shoelaces of his feet. And when they came down, the Bible doesn't really tell how many times, but I believe when they came down, they said, John, what about those shoelaces? Have you seen it yet? And John would say, no, sorry. I know it's coming, but I haven't seen it yet. And they went back up fishing. Next little vacation time, They come down again. And said, John?
What is John?
And he knew what they were asking. He said, yes. I've seen it. I said, where is he? I think he went out in the wilderness. I haven't seen him now for days and days. Jesus was fasting for 40 days and 40 nights.
Hey,
you're right there in John chapter 1. Where you read the whole story. And then, in verse 29. Jesus Christ is coming out of the wilderness. Hallelujah.
Amen.
He won the battle. For now. The devil was after him, you know. And John said, behold a lamb. And six people, they bade farewell to John the Baptist and said, John, thank you. And they took after Jesus and said, where do you stay? Hey, they had such a desire.
Yeah.
They didn't know anything about Mary, the birth of Jesus, but they knew that what John said would trigger their further growth in the Lord. And for three and a half years, they followed Jesus. They were the little handful that believed everything they saw. Hallelujah.
Amen.
They were upgraded. They saw, they expected, and waited on the fulfillment. And when it came, they said, hallelujah. Let's do this now. All right, brothers and sisters. Are we going to do this now? Right? Hey, this is not over. Maybe they'll give me another service, I don't know. But I hope that you are prepared for the best to happen. Because God's going to use people that are filled with the Holy Ghost and are expecting God to move. We're not only singing about it, we actually believe it, so that we can fulfill the scripture. Do you think that you're going to fulfill scriptures? Huh? You say, Brother Stroman, you're crazy. Only prophets fulfill scriptures. No. Born again believers. Filled with the Holy Ghost. Have allowed the nine gifts of the Spirit to move in their hearts and life. That's the ones that's going to fulfill what he has started way back in time. All scriptures are going to be fulfilled. That's my Bible. That's why we are working with the updating. Upgrade to a standard that works right now today. May the Lord bless you. I hope that you are not getting nervous. I hope that you're getting excited. I'm not speaking lies to you. We have it all here in the scriptures. We just pray that we'll be ready when God moves on. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this opportunity. I pray, Lord, that you will touch my brothers and sisters so that they will be ready in season and out of season for whatever is coming. Father, help us to have a humble heart so that we can see what you are fulfilling Lord, don't pass me by. Don't leave me without it. Include me, Lord, in your work so that I can be part of it together with my brothers and sisters. I pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
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 God bless you. I love you. Glad to be here. And I pray we'll experience something wonderful together. Amen.
Amen.